Welcome to Side by Side, a podcast where I, Robert Kwong, take you inside conversations with artists, creatives, healers, and warriors taking the charge in their transformational story. Today's guest is Chloe Ponta, the author of Untapped Magic and a highly sought-after mindset expert and transformational coach who helps people achieve their ultimate life goals. She uses an evidence-based, proven system with scientific data to support its effectiveness to help her clients overcome obstacles that are keeping them stuck in life. In this conversation, we explore some of the magical components of her book, from personal experiences to exercises and tools to support readers' manifestation journey. She lives in Seattle, and you can find more of her work online at chloeponta.co. In addition, you can find more side-by-side conversations at sidebysidepodcast.podbean.com. And if you'd like to connect with me about my services, please visit www.robertkwonhome.com. Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much for joining me on my little side-by-side podcast. And also, congratulations on your debut nonfiction novel, Untapped Magic, Manifestation Methods for Living a Limitless Life. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I was excited to actually be a guest on your show. So I'm happy that we are having this conversation, and hopefully this will help somebody out there who is looking to expand upon whatever their journey may take them, and they're looking for some help. So I'm happy to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, and speaking with you a little bit earlier before we started recording, talking about my experience reading the book, and I can't wait to dive in with you, because not only is it filled with your personal stories and where you're coming from as far as your experience, but the concepts and the tools and the wisdom you have in there. My first thought after kind of reading majority of the book was it's deceptively approachable, because there are some things that I think can run very deep as far as the practice areas. And you put a lot of stuff in there that I think people can use for a long time. They're not surface level. You can go quite deep with each component that you've put in the book. And that was my experience, where I was like, oh, it's both approachable, but it's serious work at the same time on some level, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And the reason I did that, because when I was reading self-help books, spirituality books, I always felt as if, well, yeah, I'm saying the mantras, I'm feeling happy, I'm very grateful, I'm expressing gratitude, but things are not shifting on a quantum level for me. And I wanted people to realize that you have to do deeper work in order for you to manifest what you want. You just can't go about saying mantras and expecting your life to completely change. You actually have to take aligned, actionable steps. And I created the book so that anybody from any walk of life can actually do the things that need to be done, but they also can go deeper, but it's not going to feel overwhelming. And I want people to be able to have the tools to change their lives. And that's why this book, even though it's for anyone, but I wrote it specifically for beginners, it's for people that are really ready to change. And that's why I think this book is so powerful, because I want people to have the tools to actually live the life that they want to live and know that it's within their reach.
Absolutely. And I feel like you did that by making it applicable, meaning you're talking about higher level concepts, so you're giving tangible examples of how someone applied them, which I think is super important. Anyways, to get deeper into the book, maybe before we talk about manifestation, You share in your book a little bit about your upbringing growing up in Detroit, Michigan, and how informative it was for you, as much as for anyone else's upbringing, right, for ourselves. For listeners today, just getting to know you, can you share a little bit about what it was like, you know, what your life was like before you started working on these magical components that you later put in the book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for me to have listeners know where I came from and my background. Now, the household that I was raised in was very loving. It was a very wonderful home, but the environment that I was in, it was not what, in my opinion, what I wanted to experience as a child, because on the weekends, we would always go to the suburbs. Now, mind you, I grew up in one of the roughest areas in Detroit. It was a very rough neighborhood. Unfortunately, my brother was shot and robbed when he was 17 on our block. And a 10-year-old kid, when I was about 10, he was shot and killed in the line of crossfire in a drive-by shooting. So to give you a perspective, this is not an environment where you want to raise a family. But in the 1950s, this was an area where it was a affluent neighborhood. There were a lot of people who were living in the neighborhood who were Caucasian and professionals. And my grandmother and grandfather were the actual first African-Americans to move on this block. But as time went on, the values of the homes in Detroit, they went down as they moved into the suburbs. So because they were moving into the suburbs, more Black people were actually moving into the neighborhood, and with no opportunities for them, this drove the market of the homes in that area down. And over time, it became not a good place. So that's kind of the backstory of where I grew up. But we always shopped in the suburbs. And as a child, I would say maybe about 6 to 10, 12 years old, I always questioned, well, why do we shop in the suburbs where there are beautiful homes and neighborhoods, the streets are clean, there's no trash, it's just safe. But we come back to this home, which is loving, but the area that we're in is not safe. And that questioned me about opportunity. And I was very aware at a young age where we didn't have what everyone else that I wanted to aspire to be like had. And that taught me that, well, there's a lack, there is struggle, there is something here that's missing. And that kind of prompted me on my quest, even at a very young age, to kind of understand, well, how do I get what I want? And if we don't have what I want, if we don't have a beautiful, you know, 4-bedroom home on an acre of land, you know, in Southfield, Michigan, or Northville, Michigan, these are nice areas to live in. Why don't we have that? What's missing? Why is there a lack? And in my teenage years, I wanted to understand more about that as I got older. And in my 20s, I was on a quest to actually search for those answers. That's kind of the reason why I've always been curious. And in my 20s, I went on a spirituality retreat. I went into communities to understand more about God on a more deeper spiritual level, but also more about how can I find and cultivate happiness. And that is what that's why I wrote the book, because I wanted people to understand that what you seek, you can actually have that and create that with the power of what I call your inner magic, which is the power of your mind. And that's kind of my story and why I want people to know where I come from, but also a little bit about what prompted the book.
You know, one part of the book that really stuck with me was you wrote about your father getting you your first car and like what it meant for that, the context, if you read the book. And also you were talking about you were so excited in that moment to go shopping with your friend. You didn't care about the condition it was in. And you were like, but it was a car and we could go places. That's all that mattered. But then at the same time, you also did want more. And you talk about how important it is to acknowledge what you already have in terms of gratitude. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be in conflict with wanting more for yourself, being more ambitious. So can you talk about a little bit of how you balance that, the both and nature of gratitude, but also the pursuit of something more?
That's a great question. I'm glad that you brought that up, because to give you a little bit of context, when I got that car, I was 19 years old, and I didn't have really any intention, or I didn't have any essences behind the car. It was just, I'm 19, I want a car, I need a car. All my friends have cars, it's my turn to have a car. But I didn't request the car, let's say, have heat, which it didn't. I didn't request the car to have a radio, which it didn't. I literally just wanted a car. So when I say the essence and the intention behind it, that what I'm talking about is, well, why do you want the car? Is it to get from point A to point B? Is it to have a luxury aesthetic in your life? Is it for you to be able to have safe transportation so you don't have to catch the bus to where you have to go? What is the intention behind the car? And for me, I didn't have that at 19. So I was just grateful to just be able to get into a car, go drive to the mall, just to be able to get out of the house and just have a car. So at that time, I really just wanted a car because I didn't have one and I wanted to have one. But as we get older and we're trying to manifest it, let's say we're trying to manifest money, the same concept applies. Well, why do we want the money? What is the money going to bring us? It isn't the money itself, but it is the intent and the essence behind that. So is it to find safety and security, to build sustainable wealth? Is it for us to pay our debt off? Is it for us to be able to have money for a new home? What is the intention behind having the money? And then once we have that figured out, we have to think about, well, what are the qualities of having the money? Is it going to allow me to buy a sustainable wardrobe? Am I going to be able to put money away for a nest egg? Am I going to be able to take that luxury trip I've wanted to take for the past 5 years? What is the quality and the essence behind it? So we have to think about that. But also, we have to really start with where we are today. Where we are today is an exact reflection of what we have done in the past that has brought us to this exact moment in time. So if we are not happy with where we are today, we have to really question, what can we do to change what we're doing right now to cultivate a better present environment and just be grateful for where we are right now, the house that we have, the clothes on our back, the food that we eat, because there are so many people around the world that don't have basic necessities. And we have to be grateful that we have that. So when we're grateful, what that does, it tells the universe, yes, I'm not where I want to be right now, but I'm happy with what I have. I'm grateful for that. And the universe in turn will then say, okay, I'm going to bring you more happiness. That's going to multiply. That's going to grow on a quantum level. And a lot of us forget that we have to stay grateful even if we aren't happy. Because when we start to sulk and we feel sad and depressed and down and we stay stuck in those emotions, the universe will only bring us more of that, more sadness, more depression, more anxiety, more bills that we don't want to pay, because we are in an energy level that is operating very low. And the universe doesn't know the difference between what's good or bad, you know, what's right or what's wrong. It basically knows your energy and it feeds off of that and how you feel. When we're grateful, we're at an energy level that's going to allow us to cultivate what we want because it's at a higher level than, let's say, anger and jealousy and fear and envy. So that is the reason why when we are grateful, we start to cultivate what we want. So I kind of want to just give you a little backstory on that, but another reason as to why it's so important for us to know the intent and also the essence behind what we're trying to call in.
Yeah. And you mentioned in your share right there about how important it is to be deliberate and intentional about your environment. And you also talk about relationships as being a part of your external world, your environment. I couldn't help but think about that as I was starting the book, because one of the first things you mentioned is Greta. Mm-hmm. And as someone who likes to practice manifestation, I think the easiest way to embody that or to learn it is to see it be modeled. But not everyone has seen that growing up. But it just reminded me the story you had with Greta. And it kind of had the essence of all it took was one person to model something that I didn't necessarily see for myself or that wasn't normalized. Mm-hmm. And how important it is to see your own being represented in that way. Because all it takes sometimes is just one other person who sees us a little bit differently or lives by the world in a different way. And I couldn't stop thinking about the power of relationships, but therefore the environment. So I wanted to share that with you.
No, I appreciate that. And Greta played a pivotal role in my life because even though we weren't the same race, we were totally different. It didn't matter about that. She was 10 years older than me. But I saw in her possibility because I didn't have any other female role model who was close to my age, where they were what I called success. And for me, that was being able to have a home of that stature in the neighborhood that I so wanted to live in. And her kindness and generosity, it showed me that there are people that are going to treat you with respect and kindness, because that is what you emulate back out into the world. And I wanted to model after her because she was so inspiring to me. And I think that when we have that figure in our life, they can be a person in real life or someone that we see on social media or whatever, but because they have that embodiment of what we want, that can show us what's possible for us to have. And that was such a pivotal moment for me to realize that I need to get myself together. And because she has her life together, she's going to help me to get to where I want to go. And she absolutely did that when we had our time together. So yeah.
I love that, because it is really, it's sometimes, as someone who can get hyper focused on like the work in this type mm-hmm. of thing, I sometimes have to kind of exhale and be like, okay, and how are my relationships? You know, time to step outside of whatever I'm hyper focused on, because there could be possibility out there, right? Mm-hmm. Just meeting someone like a Greta, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious about the idea of staying open, which mm-hmm. you talk about as being like a very important state to know how to embody, right?
Yeah.
What do you think is the connection between staying open and then therefore finding the magic in life?
You know, to give you a backstory, when I was trying to seek out spirituality and just seeking out what I wanted in this life, the one thing that I did in the past that got me nowhere, and I'm talking about bad relationships, bad people, bad situations, it was because my mind was so closed. I was listening to other people and their experiences, and because they told me, well, this has never happened for me, therefore, this can never happen to you, because they were in a broken marriage or broken relationship. That was what I thought I was destined for. And I thought that, well, this is how everyone around me, how their life is. I guess I'm just going to have to live a mediocre life because I don't see any way around that. But when we stay open, when we know deep down inside that we deserve to have the world, when we deserve to have someone treat us with respect, love us for exactly who we are right now in this moment, not who we're going to be a year from now, but who we are right now. When we are open to people that are going to show us a better way, opportunities that are going to come to us, that's when they show up, because we no longer are going to conform to a box. And we're telling ourselves, I know I'm made for more. And it can be difficult because a lot of us grew up with peers and co-caretakers and family members, and the media, it brainwashes us on how we should behave or how we should look or how we should be. And that plays a lot on our self-esteem. It plays a lot on our psyche, and it makes us feel as if we are small, or if we don't fit into that box, then we're worthless. You have to keep an open mind. If something that you've been doing all your life isn't working out, it's time to do some inner work and reflect, and it's time to make a change. With an open mind, you're letting yourself surrender, and you're able to call into you what works out. And if it doesn't, see how that plays out. And if it just isn't working, then you have to let it go. But having an open mind has completely changed my life, because I'm open and I'm receptive to things that my analytical mind cannot comprehend. And when we work with the universe, when we co-create with the universe, we're working with energy field that is greater than our own self. And things that it can bring to us, they're out of our control, but also they're beyond our way of thinking. And that again calls for an open mind. And when we cultivate that, we will see miracles and magic happen because we're open and receptive to having that come into our lives.
Yeah, that brings us to the topic of manifestation to me. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of, I guess I'll call them formulas, In either case, I think they're great to have up on your wall, people, when you see them. And there are quite a few that, again, I feel like we could spend an hour on each of them almost. But I like to start with, you know, this idea of intention plus essence equals manifestation. You talked about a little bit about being intentional, right? You asked for a car just now, but it turns out you were more specific in what you truly desired and clarified that, and you're able to receive it. So I'm curious about the concept of essence. It's something I've worked with in my coaching training and other spaces, spiritual spaces as well. Can you talk about a little bit of what you mean by the word essence and why it's an important component to manifesting?
Yeah. So when I talk about the essence of something, I'm talking about the quality of what that thing is going to bring you. This can be a partner. Now, the partner, they can be tall, dark, and handsome, or whatever you want them to be. That's fine. But besides that, what are the essences? How are they going to make you feel? If you have an argument, how do they react? How do they respond to your family? Do they love you for where you are right now? Do they treat you with kindness and respect? Are they going to be faithful to you? These are the essences, what I call the non-negotiables that you must call in order to know when your manifestation has arrived, because the universe is funny sometimes. It can bring you something and it can be nowhere near what you want. But because you're like, you know, it's here, I guess I'll take it. The universe is really asking you, are you sure this is what you really want? Is this what you really, really want? And deep down inside, you know, it's not what you want. But because it showed up first and it doesn't meet all of your essences, you're like, well, I'll take it anyway. But you push away what you actually are calling in. So when I talk about the essence, I'm talking about what is that thing going to provide you? What are the qualities of that thing? If it's a brand new house, the qualities would be, well, it's backed up by a park. It has a 2 or 3 car garage. It has 4 bedrooms, but it's on a cul-de-sac. If it's not in a cul-de-sac, I know it's not going to be my house because I don't want anything that isn't going to provide me with the peace of mind, the ease and flow and security that I want this house to have. So you have to think about your essence as, how does it make you feel when you have it? When you're with your perfect partner, do they light you up? Do you get butterflies in your stomach? Do they make you feel safe and secure? Do you feel protected by them? Do you feel loved by them? Those are the essences, the non-negotiables that you have to call in order to cultivate the intention of what you're trying to manifest. So when I talk about the essence, I'm just really talking about the qualities of what your manifestation is going to have. And you'll know when you have that, when the person that comes into your life or the thing that you're trying to call in, it matches the essences that are on your list of non-negotiables that you are trying to call in.
So what I'm hearing a little bit is, like, you use the word energy, which I use all the time. And essence to me is trying to define the energy by which you're choosing to want this, meaning you can want a house, but for example, I know someone who's immunocompromised. So certain types of house can be very much working against her, right? So you're talking about kind of getting really clear and understanding yourself about, like, where you're coming from in terms of your energy, how you're embodying, where you're vibrating from, right?
And
it definitely makes me think about doing energy work. So I have a question about energy in addition to essence. How can someone who's starting to work with these concepts distinguish working with their energy versus working with just purely their emotions?
That's a great question. And I'm glad that you asked that question. So in order to know when you're working with your energy, let's say you're trying to, let's go back to the house example. You're trying to buy a house and you put in an offer and you feel like, oh my God, I have to have this house. I really need this house, but there are 10 other offers and you don't get the house. It's because that energy is more of a need. It's more of a trying to hold on to something, and it was never really yours. When you surrender, you're at an energetic level where you know what you want. You've put in the order to the universe, and the universe is telling you, I got you. Don't worry about it. You'll know when it's yours. And when you surrender, when you let it go, meaning that you've done the work to attract it, but now you're just going to sit back and relax because you are waiting for the order to be brought to you. And when that happens, when you surrender, that is when things fall in place, because you're not needy. You're not trying to grasp at straws because you just have to have this thing. The universe already knows that, but we don't have to force, or we don't have to put in so much extra work in order to manifest something. When we work from a level of emotions, that's when we feel that we have to have it. It's tiring. It isn't working. It doesn't feel easy. It feels really difficult or so far away. That's because the energy level that we're on is not on the same energy level as the thing that we want. So again, for the house, if you've already done the work, meaning you have the money for the down payment, you have your realtor, you have what you need to do to get the home, you're just waiting for the right home to appear to you. You're surrendering, knowing that even though there is another offer on the table, you know that you're going to get this home. Like, you know what? I like it. I want it. I'm going to surrender it. And I know it's going to be mine, because you're not needing or wanting that thing. When we have feelings and emotions of stress or fear, or it's too hard for us and it just doesn't feel as if it's going to work out, we're operating on what I would call the egotistic or the emotional level, because at that point, we aren't in a flow with the universe. The universe will always be in flow. It's kind of like a dance. We're dancing with the universe, right? It's easy. It's breezy. It's flowy. It doesn't feel stress or hard, or like it's a pull that we have to do, right? When we feel like that, when we feel like there's a pull or it's so far away, it means we have work to do. That can be unblocking in an area that we're stuck in. That can be unblocking inner child. If we still have to go back to our childhood and unblock some areas there, that can be a scarcity mindset where we feel we're not deserving of having that because we aren't in a position where we feel worthy of something. So once we unblock where we're stuck, then we can raise the energy of ourself. And at that point, we can then match that energy level of what we want. And that's when it'll become easier, because we're now unblocked to allow in abundance where it was actually stuck. So if you feel stuck in some part of your body or in your journey, it just means that you need to unblock in that area and then raise your vibrational frequency level to match that of the thing that you're trying to call in.
You know, when you talk about ego, I find that when I'm coming from ego, or really kind of a deeply emotional state, and that's what I'm using to drive my desires, how I go after things that I want, right? It becomes, everything's a win or lose against the universe. You know, it becomes very combative and adversarial energy.
Yeah.
As much as we might think our ego is right, and, you know, we have been through all of the things we have been through. But ultimately, what is the thing that's in your best interest? And it's usually probably letting the ego rest a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can focus on some things that's a little more to your benefit. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about the energy of just do it. It's a whole marketing slogan on this planet, right? And yet I know so many people get to that point of like, they've done all the work, they've done the unblocking. And there is a moment when action and making things tangible and applying these things is going to come into play. And it's so funny, we might have another round of like the things that come up, the stories and the reactions we usually have. How would you describe the nature of just do it? And when did you start experiencing finally getting into flow? Because certainly, you know, you're drawing we all draw from our struggles and learning the lessons. So at some point, like, when did it become easier? And you're like, oh, that's what this feeling or this embodiment is.
When I was comparing my life from earlier on, like early 20s, teenage years, and I would try to manifest something, I noticed the difference between me struggling, because I struggled so much in my 20s that everything felt hard. And if something came through, I was like, well, how did that happen? I have no idea. But then as I got older and I think back to the bigger benefit, like my husband, I manifested my husband, manifested my home, my car, my book, all of these bigger things that I manifested, I surrendered with when it came to manifesting them. I was like, you know what I want? I've done the work. I'm done. I'm not going to fight with you about, you know, what kind of man I'm looking for. I'm not going to fight with you over the house I'm trying to buy. Like, you know what I want? Just bring it to me. I've put in the work. I'm going to let it go. And when I've let things go, that's when things work out. That's when things just pop up, when things happen for me. It's because I was able to surrender. But I've also been a procrastinator a lot of my adult life, where I couldn't do anything. I just felt paralyzed by fear. I felt paralyzed by, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. And it was just me fearing leveling up, knowing that once I did something, once I was able to cultivate something new, my life was going to change and I wasn't ready to become this new person that I was trying to morph into. I was so stuck in being complacent and being comfortable. But once I actually just did it, literally, I just jumped in the deep end because that's the only way that it worked for me. I just had to just go head first. That's when I was able to know, okay, I'm going to do it. And it became a part of my everyday life. I no longer operated off of willpower, but it became an inner strength, knowing that every day I'm doing something bit by bit to get me closer to my manifestation. So for those of us who struggle with actually taking aligned action to get things done, because it looks really scary, we have to take small bite-sized steps. For me, writing the book, I told myself I would be off the hook if I wrote at least one word a day. If I wrote one word, I was off the hook. Literally, I'm not kidding you. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And as soon as I would sit down and I would open up my laptop, it was like magic poured through me and I just continued to write for like an hour. Sometimes it was 25 minutes. Sometimes it was for 2 hours or 3 hours. But it was just me telling myself, you just have to write the one word. That's it. You just have to write one word today. You cannot not write today. By me getting in the habit of doing that, it was again like magic poured through me. And I just somehow was able to finish and flow into writing the book. And that's with anything in my life. That's with being active or eating healthy. I tell myself, have a salad a day. You can have one salad a day, make it your lunch salad, but you have to have a salad every single day. And every single day I have a salad. I just had a salad before we got our call. You know, it's just like, it's become my life where when you want something so bad, and you're ready to change because you're tired of how things are going and you want something to be different, you're going to change. You're going to put in the work to get there. It's just human nature, right? If you're ready to up-level your life. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit, but it's not forever. And I think we're so afraid that, oh my God, it's going to be so hard, but it's not going to be forever. And once we realize that and we get more comfortable, we up-level our life at that point when we just simply do it. And now salad day is really delicious to me. You know, writing it's exciting. I love to write. I still write every single day. Going to the gym it's pretty fun. I like it. But I had to become the Chloe I always envisioned myself to be. And that Chloe didn't sit on the couch eating potato chips. She actually did something to cultivate who she is today. So when we simply just take the small steps, we then become who we always envision ourselves to be. So that's why I just simply just go after it. I do it. I take the aligned actionable steps and then I watch my life change. That's how we cultivate change.
There's a line in your book that I wrote down because it got to me. Have you ever done something that happened easily for you? And truthfully, I was like, I'm not sure I've thought about it that much. I'm thinking about overcoming challenges, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And then when I read that, I was like, hold on, I have to think about this, because certainly I do have experiences, but it's almost like I didn't spend a bunch of time almost like empowering the fact that that was my reality, a part of my reality. Yes. As much as someone can go through struggle like I have, I have had experiences when there's alignment, something does happen, not only easily, but oftentimes they're to my benefit and it wasn't even in my control. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah.
That's quite lovely. But I felt challenged. I was like, gosh, I should really think about that a little bit more. So in your book, to help people bridge the gap between sort of getting them prepared for the manifestation process, because there's a little bit of, I'll speak for myself, you know, when you're in a rush to really understand these concepts, I felt like I was a master of manifesting mixed messages and mixed bag of things. If I could, impart people's wisdom about that, I could do it. But the process also illuminated, let's say, things that I needed to work on, things that's been a part of who I am, but maybe I hadn't acknowledged, and things like that. So that brings me to some sections in the book that you call magical actions and magical moments. Can you talk about how they can work alongside the foundational concepts like intention plus essence equals manifesting?
So I wrote the magic actions and also the magic moments because I wanted people to go deeper. I don't want you just to read the book and then, okay, thanks, that was great. I want you to actually do something, because when we do small things, we're able to see how it feels to use that muscle of manifesting our life that we want to come into fruition. And we're doing things on a daily basis. That becomes our inner strength versus operating off of just simple willpower. So with the magic moments, I created those for people just to take a moment for themselves and just sit in the moment, either say a mantra, do a breathing exercise, but just stay present. Be grateful again that you're here, you're breathing, you're alive. You have another chance to actually cultivate what you want. And I want people to know that what you want, it is possible for you to have. And with the magic actions, what I created with those were to allow people to take what they've learned in that chapter and then take a small step to make their life a little bit easier by taking a small step to cultivate what they really want. And a lot of people, they'll read something, okay, that was great, close the book, and then they're done. They don't go back. They don't, well, let me see what I have to do now. No one's going to do that. But if you put in after the end of a chapter, okay, you read the chapter, that was great, now go do this thing, it requires work. But because I want people to know how it feels to get in the habit of building that muscle, you're then going to want to do that thing on a daily basis. You're going to want to work towards your goals because now it's in your mind where, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I've been reminded about it. I want to go deeper. I want my life to change for the better. I'm going to do what I have to do to get there. But also, I've created what I call creative imaginings that are also on my website. So the book will have people go to my site and listen to music. And what that does is, on the subconscious level, we're rewiring your neural pathways. And what that means is we're basically telling your brain, hey, all that stuff you know about me from when I was a baby, I want you to change that story. And I want you to say that I can have anything that I want. And that's exactly what these audios do. They work on your subconscious level to help you to actually cultivate a new way of thinking, because we can say things up and down, but it is our core beliefs that actually project to us in our reality the life that we live. And if we want to live a better life, we have to change the way that we are seeing the world today in our beliefs. And that's what those audios are doing. So I want people to get the most out of the book because I want people to really have all the tools they need to live, again, a limitless life, because we are magic. And I want people to know that you can have exactly what you want. If you just put in the time to do it, you will get where you want to go.
And you're not alone in that, right? Mm-hmm. There are people who can support you along the way. This is not you have to get it right by yourself and pass some kind of universe test. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of support and resources around you if you take a look. And that is something that I've truly accepted about diving into my spirituality and diving into manifesting. So, you know, based on my, let's say, my own experience, I do have a kind of a funny question that I want to ask you. Have you ever gotten a response about talking about manifesting as like, this is for white people, or this is for like the elite? You know, maybe I'm just drawing a little bit from my own experience here, but, and maybe you haven't, but I'm curious if you have and what came up out of that.
No, I do get that. It's more like, oh, that's that woo-woo stuff, you know, or that's not for us. This is not going to work for us. And I challenge people and I'll ask them, well, how are things going in your life right now? How are things going in your life right now? Because everything that you're doing right now is based upon the belief system that has been instilled in you and what your current beliefs are. So if you're open for change, then maybe you can take a look at the book or take a look at what I'm doing. More than happy to help you. But I think people, again, we have our perceptions of how to behave or how other people behave and what's right, what's wrong, that we are so closed-minded to being open and receptive to new ways of thinking. And that's where I want to challenge people to understand that if something isn't working in your life, it's because you need to change your core belief systems. And manifestation is a universal. It's not just for, you know, white people or whoever. It's for anybody, for everybody. Manifestation is taught even in religions. It may not be taught in the same context, but it is spoken about. Mm-hmm. So I want people to know that it is a way to live your life limitlessly. That isn't going against your beliefs or anything if you're religious, but it's another way to ask yourself, maybe I can try this out. Maybe I really can get what I want this time around if my life isn't the way I want it to be. So that's what I typically say to people who don't know what it's about and have no idea on how it works and how they can change their life if they're open to that. There are some people who are not. So.
Right. And we can be grateful for kind of the diversity of experiences that we have on this time, on this earth. You know, maybe to help kind of bridge the gap in some of what we're talking about, you also mentioned that it's good to have some big ticket item, like goals or things you want to manifest, along with smaller wins, smaller things in terms of like magnitude, right? Mm-hmm. Why is that so important? Because I was like, wow, that's very good. And I probably could have used some of that to kind of look at the scope of what I'm asking for.
I talk about that because I want people to know how easy it is to manifest. And if we can have an easy win, then it's like, oh, well, I guess it does work. Let me try to ask for something bigger next time. So like, I wanted a pair of Rag and Bone jeans, and these are like really expensive jeans. So I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I can just find them in a Nordstrom's Rack. Maybe, you know, I never know. See if I can find some.
Yeah, I always had to walk past Rag and Bone myself. I was like, darn it, can't go in.
But I love them. I love the way that they fit. So I'm like, okay, let's just see if I can find some on sale. And sometimes I'll get like it's like a warming feeling in my core. And I know that something's about to happen, like something good is coming my way. And usually when I get that feeling, I know that I'm going to be able to find something that I'm looking for. And typically I do. And I found a pair of Rag and Bone for like $50 in Nordstrom's Rack. So it's possible, you know, for us to find those types of things. But again, I want people to be able to have small wins so that they can see how they can grow that muscle of manifesting what they want. And then once they've achieved the smaller goals, they then can work their way up to even larger goals. So whatever that may be for them, they now know, okay, this is working for me. Let me try something else. Let me try on, you know, a bigger manifestation and cultivate that thing in my life. So
I love that distinction personally, because I would say I was trying to think back to my early days working with the concept and kind of, I guess, some lessons I had to learn. And having like, there are some things that are different in scope was really important, because you don't want to qualify everything as almost like having the same energy for you in your life. And, you know, certainly like, you know, getting $50 this week from somewhere versus like, I want to be number one bestsellers list, right?
Yeah.
And I think for me, I noticed years later that I'm quite effective at manifesting, but a lot of what I manifested took like years. And maybe I was looking at deadlines in terms of like a month. When I zoomed out a little bit, and I could have been more specific, maybe I could have challenged myself with a timeline, but I did get a lot of what I was asking for. But some things, as it turns out, for example, some of the healing I wanted, it's been 5 years plus. And I realized, oh, that's okay. But I was choosing to look at it from a particular way from my ego.
You know, it's funny you say that because I actually have never put a timeline on my manifestation. Typically when I do that, I don't get them in that time frame. They come later.
Okay. I was curious about that. Earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I stopped doing that. I'm like, okay, here's what I want. I'm working on it. You're going to bring it to me. The end. Like I no longer am trying to count down, you know, how many days or how many months until this thing comes. I just put in the work, I call it in, and then it'll come. And I just know I just haven't reached that moment in time where I'm in its reality, but I know that it's going to come to me. So that's just kind of how I manifest now. But for some reason for me, whenever I put a date on something and it doesn't come, the more discouraged I get, like, oh. But if I don't have a date and I just continuously work towards it, then I know it's going to come. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And can I share an anecdote from my life around this? I was thinking about this recently as far as manifesting over something in my personal life. When it happened, it wasn't like I was shocked, but immediately I was like, wow, if I had known for certain that this was going to happen, I probably could have treated myself a little better. Mm-hmm. I probably could have been a little bit less stressed and been a little bit more like, enjoy the little moments, but I didn't fully trust it until like this is like, you know, a big manifestation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it was such a, it really made me think back like, well, now if I know I can get the things I want, how can I be more present? And it really made me think about that. I don't know. I wanted to share that with you and I don't know if anything's coming up, but it made me look back to be like, wow, I should have been more kind, more compassionate, more patient, but a part of me just doubted that something was going to happen for me.
No, I feel you on that. I have a similar story where I was so worried if it was going to come through or not that I just focused on that, that I didn't focus on enjoying the moment. And then when the thing came, it was like, oh, yes, here. Okay, next goal. Like it wasn't even like I really enjoyed it. It was like, oh, this happened. That's great. But now I want something better.
Yeah. You know?
So I totally feel you on that. And it's just that we have to, again, it's that invisible trust muscle with the universe, trusting the universe. Because the universe, we can't see it, right? We can't hold its hand and do a dance with it. It's just basically us and our mind trying to bring something that we see in our mind's eye into our physical reality. And that's so scary because it's like, well, I see it in my mind. But how do I know it's really, really, really going to show up in my real world? We don't know that, right? So because of that, it's scary to trust something that we don't know that we are going to bring in or not. And then when it's here, it's like, oh yeah, I did the work. So of course it's going to come. But now I have that next thing I want to work on. Now that's going to be the next thing. It's difficult, not going to lie. But what I would say is just stay present, knowing again that what you're manifesting is already here. We just haven't made it to that point in time in our physical reality. And once we realize that, that's when we know that we already have it. We're just on our journey to get there. And it's going to be good days. It's going to be bad days. It's going to be neutral days. But we just have to appreciate that we have the ability to take action. There are so many people that do nothing about their goals and dreams. So because you are a doer, just be super grateful and proud of yourself for accomplishing what you have done, because not a lot of people get past that point in their lives. They stay that way forever. So because you're a doer, celebrate doing what you do every single day. That's the only way I've been able to take time out and just be still. Also, meditation has helped me, just meditating. Yeah. Meditating slows me down, and it's just me and nothing and just being. So when I do that, when I have my meditation practices, even if I go to the gym, the high of just the endorphins that I have been able to release from the gym workout allows me to just feel like I've meditated for like 30 minutes. So yeah. I would say take time out, no matter how small the moment, and just appreciate how far you've come and then where you're destined to go.
Gosh, there are so many more things we can talk about. I want to get more, even more nitty gritty. Yeah, but then I was like, everyone should just pick up the book, really absorb it. And I think in my personal opinion, really absorb the magical action, because that's to me that there's a lot of work. It's not a one and done. You can keep coming back to the things that, you know, you've shared in the book over and over again and get value out of it. So for listeners, how can they best connect with you? And is there anything you'd like to share with the audience about anything that's coming up?
Listeners can find me on my website. It's chloeponta.co. It's chloeponta.co. And I have a workshop that I am doing now. It's on Saturdays weekly, and it's called Overcoming Limiting Beliefs and Low Self-Worth. It's for anyone who is struggling with really calling in what they want, getting rid of a scarcity mindset, but also just trying to call in that self-love to attract their perfect partner, or just to cultivate themselves in a brighter light. If you're interested, you can always join on my website. It's on the very first page. If you scroll down, you can join the workshop. And I'm also on Instagram at Chloe Ponta.
Thank you so much, Chloe. It's always so nice to converse with BIPOC authors, writers, and you know, intuitives and all of it. Mm-hmm. So it always brings me joy. Gosh, I really love talking about manifesting. I'm so glad I can be more unfiltered. with some of the things I was bringing up. But just thank you for your time today. And I hope many people get to benefit from your voice as possible.
Thank you, Robert. I so love this conversation. Hope we talk again soon. But thank you for having me.